From the sandbox, you pluck one particularly small but lustrous pearl. It is dark, but there's something in the center, a bloom of red, a drop of flame or blood, perhaps. You rest the pearl on your hand, and, sitting in a meditative position, you prepare to slide inside, into memories of another time, another place, maybe even another world. Gazing down into it, you feel a sensation of purpose. Whatever mind you're about to climb inside knew precisely what it had to do and what responsibility was in front of it. Sliding down, everything around you darkening away, leaving just the black, lustrous shine of the pearl, and an anticipation of pleasure. Hard to know what, you feel the sense of cool air touching your body, but it's refreshing. You get the sense that this mind, this body, this memory has been walking for a while, but that shortly its journey will take a pleasant, interesting, and unexpected turn. That's all the foresight you get before you're striding along, somewhere south of warm towns, warm hearths, and of this particular mind's home. Somewhere interesting, but changeless. Somewhere familiar, but there's still a lurking awareness that you should be alert, should be ready for whatever may come. As you walk, gradually, along a firm path to the south, south of everything else, just before one reaches the sunless lands on the far side of the swamps, there's a place that is a bit wilder, a bit outside it all. The spawn do roam there, creatures forged from darkness, bleeding their way into the land, but just as quickly natural predators or the guardians of this place will tend to push them back a little. It's rare that they wander in there and wander out again. And you, in need of a little solitude, on patrol, searching for said errant darkspawn, you wander. You feel your armor tight around your body, reassuring, your arms strewn about you, your hands loose at your sides, your arms pumping as you move swiftly as you can along your patrol route. But in a way, there's some leisure to it. You'd only be required to run off and alert someone if you did see anything, dispatch what you could if you must. But as you wander along the paths and the forged trails on the border of the swamp, you see the strangest thing. On a stump by the edge of the swamp, next to the dry, firm path, is a cake. It's beautiful. There's white icing on top, 3 fresh strawberries. No doubt some villager left it for you. But they don't come southeast like this, out to here. In fact, you're patrolling on the edge of... but it's a cake. Your stomach, dealing with hardtack field rations for so long, sends you walking over toward it. You take in a moment to consider. You can't see any way how cake could be wrong. You pick it up, one of the slices is pre-sliced, bring it to your mouth. Bite in, rich raspberry filling, accompanying the strawberries on top, the white sugar icing, and a molasses or caramel-based insert to the batter. There's something just wonderful about this relatively dense, but still deliciously sweet cake. You swallow, you finish the whole piece, you reach out for another. Strangely, your hand misses. You yawn, your eyes closing a little slowly. You sit down by the edge of the stump, still reaching for a second slice of cake. You feel your body heavy. You close your eyes for a long blink, but unlike a blink, they fail to open at the end. You lick your lips, lick the corners of your mouth, tasting delicious, swallowing deeply, feeling sweetness on your tongue and in your limbs, heavy in your head, too, a pleasant spreading sensation, almost like there are words humming nearby, a woman's voice, strong arms lifting you, a sensation of motion moving you toward something, somewhere, but the awareness of the heavy pleasure in your limbs that you haven't been sleeping too well overnight, and wherever you're resting now, although it is mobile, it is very soft, carried away, slow, and drifting, sensuous throughout your entire body. It's a good feeling, and that sweet cake was worth it, worth anything, worth whatever awaits you now. At least the hands that touched you were gentle, if firm, and it was certainly no darkspawn or creature from the waste, or so you think. Carried away, drifting away, to wherever she might take you, the heaviness of, a full meal, although it was only one slice, settling in your stomach. Yes, that's what this nap resembles. The kind of rest you might have gotten in bygone days before you were tasked with scouting out here, when there was full bellies, warm food, and a soft bed instead of hard tack and a tent floor, pitched somewhere in the wild to stage your next day's patrols. You swallow. Sweetness still on your tongue, even though the cake is long gone. And then you drift truly off. Awaking to who knows what later on. Sensation gradually returns to you, and the feeling in your limbs, the feeling in your head that you might will yourself to move. You try opening your eyes. That works. Above you is the roof of some walled-in space. It must be a hut. You do see dirt floor out of the corner of your eye, but everything is well scrubbed or swept. Overhead is hanging groups, bunches of herbs. You see some garlic in the corner, but also medicinal herbs among the culinary. There's a bubbling pot over a fire, in a fireplace that is laid of stone and brick. So this is a more permanent emplacement. You move to get up off the padded table you were laying on. It's not quite a bed. More reminds you of a physician's work surface or the patient beds back at camp. But you notice you're tied to it. Your arms are lashed down, and your clothing seems to have gone somewhere at some point. So you try a little harder. But strong though you might normally be, whatever was in that cake is still in your limbs. You mentally reevaluate, was it worth it, really? While making no sound aloud. Yeah, it was worth it, you decide. And then you keep trying to move. I wouldn't do that if I were you. A woman's voice from the corner of the room, behind you, where you can't quite see her. There's a footstep, another. And then a long-fingered, pale hand comes down and runs from your chin up to your scalp, her fingernails brushing against you. Leaning over you, you see a mischievous grin on the face of a pale woman. She has short dark hair pulled up into some kind of tie or loop at the top back of her head. It looks like it might be feathers, but I guess they could be tufts of hair, you think, as you inspect her. Her lips are full. Her eyes seem to flash yellow, but that might be the firelight. Her overall expression is one of amusement. Seen everything you'd like to see, I should think not. She walks around, so you can get a better look at her. Her very revealing top is little more than a few thin scarves or lengths of fabric interwoven, tied into a long loop of material that drapes unconcealed stomach underneath and behind all the clothing. Her breasts are massive. She turns inside profile. You get a look. Her other features are curvy and interesting as well. She's wearing a short leather skirt currently, made up of many different leathers stitched together. But the look she's giving you and the staff. You now see she's leaning against the bench nearby. Tell you she may have a little bit more in her mind than just trying to ransom you back or keeping you captive or dumping you in the swamp. There's a definite intelligence to the gaze, a definite intention. So when she leans over and continues running her hand down your body from your face down toward your chest, as she looks over you, you stay quiet and you listen. She smirks approvingly. I need a little something from you. You look around, looking for your armor, your possessions, for your pouch, for your rations, your supplies. She shakes her head when she sees you gazing about. No, I've already taken those, and you may get them back at the end, even. I need something that is inside of you. You renew your struggles, but a surprisingly strong hand presses your chest, and the strength you've been robbed of after eating what you now suspect may have been a very slightly poisoned cake. Well, the robbing of strength remains. She smiles and laughs a little, looking at you, with eyes that don't have any noticeable malign intention. Indeed, her hands slide down to your hips. Not inside like that, though truth be, I'll take a tiny bit of blood. Nothing compared to what the vampires out there in the swamp might have done to you if you had lain where you were after eating my cake. Ah, okay. You've worked it out. You're really not too bright, are you? She doesn't say it accusatorily, it's just an observation, and you find yourself powerless to challenge it. I confess, I was watching. I saw you going for a second slice, even after it must have been obvious that you were poisoned. She seems to be questioning, but you're really happy that you didn't tell her that you only just realized the first slice was poisoned and that you weren't just taking a nap. She slides one hand down, pulls at some strap on her skirt, some buckle. It slides away, revealing beneath loose-fitting, soft, almost silky fabric. She pulls that away too, underwear dropping, a tied strap of some sort sliding out of the way, and her upper body revealed as well. Her breasts are magnificent. She steps to the padded table you're on, slides onto it nimble. You watch, she turns, making sure to almost pirouette over your body, giving you a good look of her backside, her wet, dripping pussy as well. She's already aroused. This would not be the first time I've taken someone from the wilds back here, but the first time I've been daring enough to obtain this particular ingredient with intent to use it. And yes, a few drops of blood, it's okay. I shall be... Well, I shall not lie to you in any event. Gentle isn't the right description. I shall be thorough. As this wild woman sits atop you and reaches down to grip your member, exposed as it is in the open air of her cottage, of her hut, of her retreat, and your prison, she grips her fingers tight and gives a few experimental pumps. As I said, I do know what I'm doing. But I don't know what I'm doing with the ritual after this. You see, once you've obtained, and she seems to want to talk, perhaps it's nerves or just to give you something to think about that'll distract you from the fact you're hardening in her hand, but she explains, you see, I've always wondered if the protection against further taint is transferable. If it could be, she pumps you firmly with her hand, keeping the stroke up. You notice that she's sliding lower on the table. There's more than enough room on it for her to kneel down between your feet and bring her face close between your legs, but she keeps talking, even though her breath is brushing the tip of your member now. You see, if I were to take a small enough tincture of the same stuff that's been in you since your joining, if I were to take the aged blood and run it through a ritual process, I might create an inoculation which would not kill quite so readily. Of course, I would then keep my process to myself and laugh as I watched the incompetent wardens kill and lose one after another of their preciously small numbers during their joinings. Oh yes, I've seen. I think everything that stalks the night has seen, though it was through a bird's eye at the time. She's still pumping your cock. And now, her breath is coming hot and deliberate. She'll stop pumping for a moment in her hand job and breathe across the tip of your length. Breathe, hot, moist, glistening. You look down your body because you are propped up a little on a pillow and therefore can see her tongue extending, extending. She's looking at you out of one yellow eye, watching how you react. She lets a drop of her saliva fall down onto your balls, and then uses her other hand to rub them. She adjusts her hair, tucks it back behind one ear, leaves your cock unattended and standing all on its lonesome while she rubs your balls, rubs her saliva into it, leans down, brings her tongue up one testy. It's the stuff in here I need, too. Your fertility is radically reduced. I've heard that one. So if that's true, maybe there's a reason. Maybe your body's trying to make all kinds of little darkspawn. I doubt it, though. I think it's something else. She trails off, opens her mouth wide, engulfs the head of your cock. Her tongue is long, and it is precise. Her hand is pumping. Below the point, her lips are sealed upon your member. Her saliva makes your balls feel cool as you feel them tug up. You're almost at that point already. She's licking, lapping, lashing you with her tongue. You can look down and see her huge breasts pushing just below your cock, against your upper legs, against your balls now as she slides her breasts up, slipping your length between them for but a moment, rubbing them against the pre-cum that's been dripping down onto you. I must extract it myself. Something of my vitality will seal away whatever might be dangerous. The coupling of the ritual and a contraceptive spell. She winks at you, part reassuring, part mocking. You are tied down, of course. A point she seems all too happy to make herself when she adds, tying them down is the only way I can get them to stay. In case you were wondering. The woman slides, higher still. At least it seems I will not be unsatisfied, but can you keep it up at that size? Whatever that remark's supposed to mean, she slips her tongue back down, pushes her breasts upward, so at least the very top of those warm, soft, pliable, and now you know, very, very bouncy breasts pushes against your erection. Captured half in her mouth, half in her hand, but she opens the hand to push your cock down and let her mounds rub on it. You feel the slickness pooling. She's drooling onto you deliberately, which mixes onto her hand and mingles with the pre-cum from the brief moment she captured your dick between her breasts. And then her lips smack and she keeps sucking. Her body is impossibly strong because she's pushing your legs down to make sure you don't twitch in any way she doesn't want you to. And whenever you try to struggle, she reaches out and with a barest tug, deeply tightens the bonds around your hands or your legs. Of course, struggling isn't precisely what's on your mind once the pleasure really starts to build. She's sucking, licking, drooling, capturing, and you do feel captured. The urge to escape or struggle away changes to a desire to reach out and run your fingers through her hair over what you're sure must be feathers but might just be part of her at the back of her head. You want to touch all sorts of things that are on display, sucking and wreathing above your body. The smacking becomes louder, and she must be doing it on purpose. You do stay hard, true to her command, her jest, her acid poke at your ability to remain virile. And then you realize, of course, you're not supposed to be doing this, but Choices are left far behind, on the other side of tasting that cursed, delicious cake. You think about asking her for another slice, but she might be offended that you want to go to sleep in the middle of this. On the other hand, it did taste quite good. And then your head's dragged back to the present, as she sucks the underside of your shaft very sharply, very firmly. You're sure she'll leave a red mark there. She's pulling, and the feeling spreads, those tingles, that heat, all through your cock. It's absolutely glistening when she pulls away with a pop and leaves it bouncing and exposed in the air. You see the mark of your pre-cum on her breasts mixed with her drool. She wipes her mouth, the corner of her mouth on her hand, smirks at you again. Well, you've passed the first test. If you'd come there, I would have just let what was in my mouth out in a bowl and we'd be done. But for your endurance, there is a neatly trimmed row of pubic hair above her mons. She raises her body up. You mourn the loss of her hand, her lips, as she runs both hands down her body, alongside her breasts, emphasizing her contours, her curved hips, which she swings slowly forward and back to demonstrate how nimbly she can move, dropping her hips then, bringing the glistening part of her stuck-together lips against your cock. This causes her lower lips to spread, which brings the moisture, the juices from within, along your shaft, leaving a long, glistening trail. Truly, I did not need to lubricate you first. I am looking forward to the ritual which will follow, of course. She says nothing more, and then drops herself onto you. The tip of your cock spreads her. She is impossibly tight, but the walls do spread, and she is wet, hot. She begins riding. She doesn't give you any time at all to adjust to the tight, hot pleasure inside of her, instead bouncing several times vigorously, that muscular strength you noticed before, that surprising vitality spreading. She pushes you down by your shoulders, mounting you, more bestial and animalistic now than before. She lets out a groan, a wild, high shriek. At the moment that you are fully inside of her, no trace of the acid, sardonic, observing woman from before. Now there is a wild beast riding. Her eyes flash again, glee in her smile. Even when she moves wrong for just a moment and feels you push against the deepest part of her, and groans combined with discomfort and pleasure of fullness, she quickly regains that animalistic cast to her vision, riding, writhing, grinning at you. Her hips roll left and right, using every bit of movement she can get into them. Her fingernails dig into your shoulders. There's a moment as she scratches down. You feel a welt rise there. You feel a sharp, sudden spike of pleasure, too, where her nails have run along your skin. She reaches out, grabs something nearby. It looks like a cloth, and you see redness dyeing it. She runs it down your back. There's some ointment on the other side of it that rubs there, and then she folds it and tosses it onto the table nearby. That ingredient I needed first. She manages to groan, grunt, almost expel from her body the desire, the interest for anything else other than riding you. When she drops her hips, it makes the table creak. You think it might break by the end of this. Drop and rise, and drop and rise. Her muscles allow her to move almost impossibly, thoroughly, machine-like. You imagine there might be something driving this hunger, some desire beyond just extracting your semen, but the way she's looking at you, her eyes boring into yours, you know the hunger goes beyond you. And yet, in that moment, she sees your slight expression of shock mixed with pleasure, and she smiles, an honest smile halfway between mocking and genuine pleasure. She ruts on you, riding you with her hips. Her pussy is impossibly tight, and she never ever pulls you more than about halfway out, like she likes the fullness, riding deep on you, letting a little bit of your cock free for just a moment, but only so she'll have something to drop right back down on and encapsulate rising lust. She's riding you. You hear her moan a few times, a sharp, high sound, and you wonder if she might have come already. Certainly she's gaining pleasure from this, extracting pleasure. She's steering the tip of your cock to right where she wants it, and she keeps her hips closed tight now. I can feel you growing close, she informs you. I will need to capture everything. And so she keeps you locked inside of her, riding and squeezing. Her pussy's more than tight enough to keep every drop inside. Even if you did come now, you doubt any would escape. But the closer you seem to get as your body grows taut and tight, as your balls squeeze up, and the heat from them she can clearly feel against her entrance when she rides deep. As all that happens, she starts making smaller and slower strokes on you, moving you to make the moment last, but also to ensure that whenever you do come, you'll be at her deepest point and her pussy will be tight as it can get in the post-orgasmic contraction that you now know she's feeling. She's getting off to it. Now and then she'll lean back to rub the tip of your cock against the front of her body, riding some spot behind the proudly standing clit that she now reaches down, rubs in a circle, massages too quickly to do anything but moan from, anything but twitch from. She is as helplessly caught in the rack and roll of it as you are. But while you thought she was coming before, when she suddenly drops against your body, dropping, throwing her arms around your back, pulling herself against you, her face right by your ear, snarling, growling, panting. When she rides your cock to its deepest point, lets her knees give out and just falls atop you, falling with gravity and force and then pulsing. Her pussy is squeezing impossibly tightly in waves from the base to the tip of you. She moans in your ear, her whole body shivering, which causes a vibrating effect between your legs. A banshee wail, loud and keening, rises from her. She's coming. And with the impossible contortion and squeezing of you squirting hot inside of her, it seems to only grow stronger, only grow hotter, as she just pulls you to her, desperately clutching your body against her. You, tied down as you are, can only moan, not wrap around her, only be in the throes of the passionate, shivering embrace she's giving you, twitch after twitch, some long and some slow, what seems to last quite a long time. Occasionally a convulsion goes all the way from the base to tip, and sometimes it feels like her pussy's just sucking the tip of you, the very tip, like trying to pull you in, coming and coming and sending it into her, coming into her, squirting into her. She squeezes you as deep as she can, and your body tightly as well. Good. Good. I have my ingredient. She slides off of you, but she reaches down and presses a square of fabric. You realize it's her underwear, which she gripped off the side table, and presses against her pussy. At the moment you slip out, you think some droplets will escape, but she catches them with her other hand, puts them between her fingers, slips them into her underwear, and then holds them there. She walks out of sight toward the corner she was in at first, but you watch her shaky legs go. You see your still pulsating member, emptied, sitting there, slowly shrinking. You feel it in your whole body, the coming, the climax, the heat. You remember how tight she was inside. You hear some distant sound. Be glad you do not have to see this, she says, and you realize she must be extracting at least some of the semen from herself. You're exhausted, laying there. But a few minutes later, you do hear the splashing of water, and then she's over, untying your bonds. Your armor's in a box outside, actually. But here, you can have a cup of tea. She walks over to that fire, which was burning, keeping the place heated. You see that there's a pot bubbling on it, and she ladles out some clear, boiling water into a mug hewn from wood, well lacquered on the outside with some berry or plant. She sets it by the side of the table, but even though you're untied, moving seems an impossibility. She makes an awkward kind of chuckle as she collects her clothes off the ground. slides them on, but you notice the place she dropped them was actually clearer and cleaner than everywhere else. For all there was no ceremony, she's careful with her things. She sits down on a chair that was in that corner. She was watching you before you woke up. Don't eat strange cakes you find by the side of the road. Really, what am I to do with you? I suppose if you're going to be around here for a time, you might find me out here. I won't blindfold you on the way back, but if you lead anyone else here, no one will survive. She's seated, sipping her own mug of tea, and you notice that there is a small pot of some simple herbal mixture there. You're going to need your energy to get back, or several miles out. You raise a querying eyebrow. Don't think I could carry you. Oh, I'm much stronger than I look. You remember back to the squeeze of her around your cock. But there's no trace of any real awkwardness or embarrassment on her part. She's clothed again now. The whole thing is done. There's still a flush in her cheeks, and every now and then, as you watch and sip your own tea, it's quite good. You notice her legs clenching together. Her nipples are pointed through the thin sheets of fabric covering her breasts. But yes, she just seems like she feels it was just another event that has happened. Here is a woman who has seen many interesting things, and maybe you were one of them. She did welcome you back, and when you collect your things and walk off, you make sure to carefully note the path back here for next time.